Good afternoon. You are joining We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
And our guest today is Jim Lee. You guys haven't heard from him in almost a year. I cannot believe it's been almost a year.
I know it.
But we were listening to some knucklehead the other night on Coast to Coast Radio.
Oh, you can't mention it.
Oh, you can't? Oh, it's too late. And guy was a dunce.
He was.
And he was talking about, you know, they're spraying us, blah, blah, blah.
Feelings.
And it was just all about feelings.
All about
there was
feelings.
No fact. And I thought, it was a Friday night, I guess. I'm laying in bed all mad. Got to get Jim Lee back on here and just make this guy shut up. And then Jim called me the very next day, and he's like, hey, you want to do a show?
You got any fear porn, Jim?
Jim, are you monitoring our bedroom?
I am looking right now, and it's very nasty.
What are our dogs doing?
That's all you're
you don't
see.
Want to know.
Yikes.
But we know.
But we know. So they're at climateviewer.org or .com?
Both.
Oh, okay. I was going to say I've got both on here. I'm conflicted. So at climateviewer.com, you can see everything.
And that's my blog. That's my jump off. It's kind of my table of contents for everything I do. Climateviewer.org is my map. It's Climateviewer 3D, where you can see a 3D globe, see satellite images in real time. Real time volcanoes, fires, and earthquakes. Oh, my.
You can see stuff on that climate viewer thing, your map. You can see stuff on that. Okay, 90% of it, I have no idea what those things are. I mean, I can look at them, but I don't even know what they are. How did you even find all that stuff? Is there like a...
Oh, it's a lengthy process.
I can only imagine.
An example, like the nuclear map. I started creating a map of all the nuclear reactors. It took 3 months. 440 nuclear reactors, individually labeled by number with photos and a little web page button on each one. So, yeah, it takes a while. It's a labor of love, though. I'm really nosy. It's kind of like Where's Waldo on steroids. You know, I go hunting for, say, like ionospheric heaters. Like, everybody had a photo called the HARP map. And I was like, so I want to make a real HARP map. And got into Google Earth and went hunting for microwaves to cook the sky. And, you know, as I found them, I'd put a dot on it, go find their web page, everything about it, put it in the dot, and then save the map and share it with everybody. So that's Climate Viewer 3D.
Nice. So bottom line is, this program will not be about feelings. We're not really big on feelings. So we might hurt.
Don't care about your feelings.
No, we don't. And we might hurt some people's feelings, which actually would be fine. But I like it. Your mantra is where conspiracy meets reality. Because it's no good talking about all this stuff if it's all just the phrase that we love the most, that we learned from you, if it's just fear porn.
There is so much fear porn that it makes me sick, that, you know, like most of the people that I see that are like claiming to be, you know, hashtag woke, are busy trying to scare the hell out of everybody they talk to on a daily basis.
But not providing any facts. I mean, I'm all good. I mean, seriously, we just did this show on EMP, ness. EMP stuff.
For purposes of this broadcast, that was 2 weeks ago.
But I mean, that was truly scary. But the guy was an expert. I mean, and so it wasn't just scary for the sake of scary. It was factually scary. So I always like it because you sort out fact from fiction. So what do you want to tell us about since we haven't talked to you in almost a year? I cannot believe it's been that long.
Well, you know, I've been busy practicing what I preach, and I decided I'm going to go to the Den of Lions at the AMS 98th Annual Conference in Austin, Texas, and go speak directly to the people screwing with the weather.
And what's an AMS? Is it Association of
the
Meteorological
Societies.
What's your reception?
I got the meteorological
because
part.
Because I know a lot of those guys are the fear mongers. Are you well received?
Oh, well, honestly, the funny part about it is, little to the public's knowledge, I've been talking to these guys for years. I started debating Ken Caldera in 2012 and
wolfed
his tail all over his... He's a geoengineer.
But
one of the top two geoengineers on the planet, him and David Keith, they both get money from Bill Gates. They hand it out to all the other geoengineers. It's called FICER.
Called a what?
Fund for Innovative Climate Energy Research. FICER. F-I-C-E-R. Bill Gates has a big fund of money. Ken Caldera, David Keith, give it out to all the other geoengineering scientists who want to talk about how to control the sky to block sunlight and cool the planet.
So do they talk about it, or do they do it?
Well, we've been doing it for 60-something years in a very uncontrolled fashion, and they're definitely trying to fine-tune their control of it. So putting a start on when it, you know, was a controlled experiment is almost an impossibility, because it's hard to tell where pollution begins and control, you know, ends. So the honest truth of that matter is we have been geoengineering the sky since planes started flying, and now there are many, many hands involved in controlling the sky, and it's not just airplanes making clouds. We're talking laser beams that can steer lightning bolts and make it rain. We're talking ionospheric heaters, which can create ELF waves, which can steer jet streams, alter global weather patterns, create noctilucent clouds over the North Pole, which are diamond dust clouds, which are electric blue clouds. They're crazy. So there are all kinds of different, you know, atmospheric experimentations going on a daily basis, and most people only talk about one, and that's jet aircraft making clouds. Now, that's an issue. It's a major issue, and I think I've covered it better than anybody over the last 3 years, really getting down to how it works, why they do it, who does it. I like to do the who, what, where, when, and why, you know, the stuff that matters. So when you really follow that trail, you realize what's the biggest expense? Jet fuel. What's the biggest motivator in what they do? Jet fuel. What's creating clouds? Jet fuel. Where does aluminum and barium come from? Jet fuel. If they're going to geoengineer the planet, how do they say they want to do it? 17 geoengineering papers say jet fuel.
Well, wait a minute now. What about the big spray units inside of these planes that have the jets all hooked to the back of the wings? And I mean,
and they're looking at them in the rearview mirror of
the
pilot.
Yeah, what's going on with that? Because that's what everybody's talking
about.
It
does not exist. So the thing is, I spent 4 years looking at every single photo of every single ballast tank, every single spraying apparatus, tracked them down ad nauseum. And the problem is, they're really, I have yet to find a single modification that I cannot account for another purpose. So, and furthermore, I've interviewed extensively people who work on these systems. If there was some secret pipe at all, I'd know it, because I've been in there and I looked. Mm-hmm. So the thing that I'm going with is, well, how else could they do this? And then I go, well, wait. Paul Crutz, and Nobel Prize winner, said, you know, stratospheric sulfur injections via jet fuel. Wait a minute. Alan Robach, geoengineer, said, hey, we can, you know, put this stuff in the jet fuel and get it in the stratosphere, and if not, we could use F-16s and KC-135s to get it up there. Boom. But even then, we would do it with jet fuel in the F-16s. Mm-hmm. So paper after paper, FICA Cool Project, stratospheric commercial aviation, geoengineering with fuel sulfur content. All of them say the same thing. Let's alter the sulfur in the jet fuel so that we can cool the planet. And what does David Key say? Stratospheric sulfur injections. They call it the Mount Pinatubo effect.
So
volcanoes spray sulfur into the stratosphere. Mm-hmm. It cools the planet. It also dries up rainfall, usually in the southern hemisphere. So if we do what they're trying to do, which is mimic volcanoes by putting sulfur dioxide, sulfuric acid into the stratosphere, which is where the ozone layer is, it will destroy the ozone layer and more than likely dry up the southern hemisphere. The northern hemisphere will get wetter, So they have started something called Geoengineering Governance, which is was started by the Solar Radiation Management Governance Initiative, SRMGI, and the UK government and the US government jointly had a series of congressional hearings in 2010. I have all four of those videos on my YouTube. That's how I met Ken Caldera. He forgot to tell all of his colleagues that he had testified there, and somebody went and posted my videos on his forum, and then I met all the geoengineers back in 2010. So, or 2011. So the point of this is, like, I came at this from, you know, looking at the geoengineers themselves, debating them on how they were trying to semantically circumvent international laws by calling it geoengineering instead of weather modification, when in fact, chemtrails, geoengineering, cloud seeding, they're all the same thing. I mean, they're all the same thing. You can call them different things because they're for different purposes.
But it all.
But they're generally speaking all chemical trails released in the sky to do atmospheric modification.
Nice. And on that note, let's take a really swift break here and then we'll come back because there's tons more. Tons and tons more. You are listening to We the People. Our guest is Jim Lee. And we'll be back with him. You can find all his information at wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them? When they move into your neighborhood, they take over but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them? Oh, big old jet.
Big old jet airliners.
Exactly. Perfect song.
So, Jim, jet fuel. Is all jet fuel treated with the same chemicals to create the chemtrails?
No. No.
Yeah, because that's why they put fuel in jets, is to create chemtrails.
That's right.
Well, I mean, it depends, because I just came across some new evidence. And it really changed, you know, like every day you get something new that like changes your whole perspective on everything. And one of the big ones for me, if you go to weathermodificationhistory.com, there is a post on there, July 2015, doped jet fuel sulfur content geoengineering. And what I found was a couple patents. And when you start finding patents, you start to get a little concerned. Especially when they're saying things like, you know, let's build a electronic control unit inside the jet that controls two different jet fuels in one tank. And one can make clouds, or a mixture of the two can make clouds. And this is exactly what it says. Here, let me bring this up real quick, because this is priceless. You just can't beat this. Control unit and method for controlling the supply of a vehicle with multiple fuels. This is a patent owned by Airbus. So this is not for a car. This is for a jet engine. And it says it's US 2011-01-01-166. And this is dated, 2011. Okay. A control unit for controlling the supply of a vehicle having at least one internal combustion engine and multiple fuels has at least one blah, 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 blah. Let's go down to here, the good part. The control unit is adapted for being connected to at least one first supply apparatus for supplying a first fuel to the internal combustion engine and at least one second supply apparatus for supplying a second fuel to the internal combustion engine and having a way to control vapor trail production.
So
then I see two other patents that say the exact same thing. Fuel delivery system. This one is also is owned by Rolls-Royce. And it says determining a resultant fuel composition for the use by the machine in the ambient air condition to achieve the characteristic where the resultant fuel composition includes at least one of the first and second fuel compositions, determining the ratio of at least the first and second fuel compositions requirement for sufficient resultant fuel composition for the duration of the time, and creating vapor, or it says vapor trails are controlled. There's a quote right in there. But anyway, this is about using two jet fuels in one tank to control off-on cloud creation.
Okay. Because we do see that. We do see off-on. Yeah.
People wonder how it works. And here's where it gets really crazy. Nobody wants to believe, but this is the truth of the matter. There's a supercomputer called NextGen, N-E-X-T-G-E-N. It routes all the flights. So they're on these highways in the sky. So when you see grids in the sky, mm-hmm. that's because it's run by a computer. These grids in the sky are connected to the NextGen transportation system, which tells the flights where to go, how much fuel to burn, and when to burn it. This is determined by something called the Aviation Environmental Design Toolkit, AEDT. It's called the Environmental Design Toolkit. It designs the environment. And it does it based on whether clouds will be created or not. And now that they put in a weighting system for whether they heat the planet or not, they would rather opt out of heating the planet and only make clouds when they're going to cool the planet. So, according to the head of the Federal Aviation Administration's Aviation Climate Change Research Initiative, Dr. Rangasai Halthori, who I interviewed three times, and in my last interview said, the FAA position is we want to make clouds by day, none by night.
Hmm.
So you're going to get chemtrails all day, and they don't want them at night. So if they can't make them go away just by not creating them, then they're going to melt them away with something called cirrus cloud seeding or cirrus cloud thinning. And that is to do what's called earth radiation management. Solar radiation management is control of sunlight coming in. Earth radiation management is to control heat going out. The problem is chemtrails, cirrus clouds created by aircraft, trap heat, melt the poles, and if they can't get rid of them at night, the heat that comes in during the day does not escape back to space.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Venus effect. It creates a blanket in the sky. So they got to get rid of their chemtrail trash at night, or they're going to screw up the planet, and the airline industry will have to pay the largest carbon tax in history.
Hmm.
And that's why there's a chemtrail conspiracy, because this is the most trillion-dollar problem. It is the most visible form of climate change. Everybody sees it. It's over your house every day. It's also the most visible in that so many people are talking about it. I have heard from pilots' unions that directly from airline insiders, they are telling their flight line crews and all that, stop talking about chemtrails on Facebook. And the reason why is they're scared to death that when people figure out what's really going on with this whole biofuels for contrail control and two jet fuels in one tank and making clouds by day and none by night, and it's all for carbon taxes and cooling the planet because they're in deep doo-doo. That's a real story. That's something a journalist, hopefully if there are any left, will contact me. I've been doing this 7 years, and I've been right every minute of it. So if they'll just contact me, this could actually change this current, you know, discussion. But back to the fear porn thing. Fear porn sells. You know what I mean? This isn't scary enough for people. It's just too damn real, I guess. So
it's kind of boring, actually.
Flack. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of boring. It's jet fuel and
well,
yeah.
See, you're the first. You're the first person I've heard come up with a reason for the clouds in the sky. I mean, counteracting the effect of the jet engines. I mean, everybody else has a conspiracy that they are trying to create a drought and blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, that actually...
They are creating a drought, and that's where the rub comes in, okay? So, all right, for people in California, let's clarify this. You guys are in California. There was a study done called Cal Water 2015, C-A-L Water 2015. And at that discussion, there was a panel, and they were talking about something called overseeding. And overseeding is where you put too many aerosols in the sky for water to fall. So if there are too many aerosols in the sky, not enough water can attach to it, and therefore that cloud is just going to float on by, and none of the water is going to fall out of it. You have to have a perfect mixture of aerosols and water vapor and static. Oh, there. So when you have this perfect mixture, then obviously the water is going to coalesce, it's going to get big enough on the little specks of dirt in the sky and fall. That's called rain. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you have chemtrails, when you have jet aircraft laying down seeds, aerosols, metals like aluminum, barium, strontium, vanadium, and other, you know, organic compounds like calcium, soot, carbon black soot is the predominant one. So when you're talking about making clouds, how do you actually make a cloud? The vast majority of these, the cloud seed of choice is carbon black soot. Soot comes out the back of the plane. It's wrapped in sulfuric acid, sulfur dioxide. It's got metal nanoparticles in it. That soot has been found 18 kilometers in the sky, which means it traveled through the ozone layer. The Indian Space Organization said that soot coming out of the back of jets are lofting all the way through the ozone layer, destroying the ozone layer and affecting their monsoon. They said this a month ago. So nobody wanted to even believe that exhaust coming out of planes could go that high, let alone that it would tell on David Keith and the geoengineers. David Keith has a paper called Photophoretic Self-Levitation of Carbon Black, blah, 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 blah. Photophoretic.
You lost me at photophoretic.
Levitation means black soot, when it's heated by sunlight, gets hot enough that it goes up instead of down. Right. So here's what's happening. Jet aircraft makes a contrail, should melt away, doesn't. Question is why? Scientists don't seem to understand this. Here's the facts. The black soot comes out. If enough water vapor sticks to it, it forms ice. It starts to go up. It creates a cirrus cloud, and guess what's in the cirrus cloud? 75% of cloud seeds found in cirrus clouds were man-made metals and were almost devoid of carbon black soot. This is from the Finland University CERN project, Jasper Kirkby and Company. So, they found 75% man-made metals in these cloud seeds, and they found almost no carbon black soot. The Indian Space Organization found carbon black soot above the cirrus clouds they're making. So what's happening is planes are making soot. The soot's got sulfuric acid on it. It goes up. The metal nanoparticles that are sticking to the soot free themselves. Metal is a, you know, like a heat sink. Everybody's heat sink in their car, their radiator, we know how metal works. So, metal frees from soot, makes clouds, clouds bad. These are metal clouds. The soot keeps going up, and guess what's on the soot? Sulfuric acid. What did David Keith and the geoengineers want to do? Put sulfur in the stratosphere. Where is the soot headed? For the stratosphere. They are geoengineering the planet. They have been for quite some time. They didn't even know it or didn't admit to it. But regardless, now we know how it works. So.
Now, how are they able to measure the amount of black soot that's up that high?
Right now, that guy, Dr. Rangasai Althori, the reason why I contacted him is because he's doing something called the access flights. And in those, they are testing biofuels for contrail control. They are actually flying a DC-8 with a sniffing device on it into the chemtrails. Mm-hmm. They're burning different fuels in one plane, They're flying another plane directly behind it, and they are taking samples to find out exactly that. How much soot was produced, how much sulfuric acid was produced, yada, yada, yada.
So how do they, how do they measure the black soot that's above the ozone layer?
You can't know that right now because we have to take a quick break. And celebrate capitalism.
Oh,
capitalism
man.
Is now cut.
Into this.
There.
Capitalism just cut bills. Carbon black soot information
off
at the knees.
Good question, though.
It was a really good question.
Oh darn it! Yep. I was hoping your microphone was off.
Yep. That's me.
Bill.
Okay, so we're going to take a quick
track
break.
Of how many good questions
yep,
he gets.
I got it right here. One for Bill, right there.
Yeah, you're listening to We the People, or should we just call it Bill and the Good Questions Show?
Questions.
You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Look around, leaves are brown, and the sky is a hazy shade of winter.
Our guest today is Jim Lee. We're talking about where conspiracy meets reality and weather modification specifically. Hey, Jim, before we get too carried away, tell us about this conference in Austin, since that was what sparked the program. It's on the 9th of January?
Yes, ma'am. We're going to be going to Austin Convention Center January 9th through the 11th, 2018. It's the 21st conference on planned and inadvertent weather modification. And I'm going to be there for 3 days going to presentations by geoengineering and cloud seeding scientists who are bragging about their experiments over the last year. So they'll be doing about, 30 minutes to an hour worth of presentation each at the end of those presentations. They will ask questions from the audience. You know who will be there raising his hand. The AMS will be recording all of these presentations, and they will be available on their website afterwards. And I've gotten permission from the AMS press office to record everything else anywhere I like, whenever I choose. And should the geoengineers or cloud seeding scientists agree to an interview, I'm going to basically grill them on my solution to what they do. I'm going to say to them, hey, I believe your technology could be used as a weapon. We're pretty upset about it. And weather warfare was banned in 1978, but there's no way to catch somebody in the act. And I think that that's unacceptable. So the public's pretty upset with you guys. I read that you're all receiving death threats. And I think that a good...
Are they really?
Yes, they are.
Oh, wow.
And I think that a good solution for everybody involved is that you guys agree to transparency, that everybody worldwide is required to give a 48-hour notice before they screw with the sky, and that anybody we catch screwing with the sky who didn't tell us why they're doing it, we will assume that you are hostile. Because that's what NMOD, the Environmental Modification Convention, the weather warfare ban of 1978, that's what it prohibits, is hostile use of environmental modification techniques. So if you use weather modification for a good purpose, it's okay. But if for a bad purpose, not okay. How do we tell whose intentions are good or bad?
Exactly.
The simple solution is, you got to tell us up in advance what your intention is. And when you tell us what your intention is, and then you go make a tornado that kills somebody, we can sue you in court. That's called accountability. Therefore, I call my law the Environmental Accountability, the Environmental Modification Accountability Act of 2018. And what I'm trying to do is take a law that's on the books because of what happened in Vietnam when we were doing Operation Popeye. The CIA, the U.S. Air Force, and Henry Kissinger didn't even tell the Secretary of Defense they were doing weather warfare in Vietnam. And then they were busted. And because they were busted, there were hearings. And because there were hearings, Russia and America agreed they probably shouldn't do weather warfare. So they went to the United Nations, they made a law, everybody signed the treaty. It's called ENMOD, E-N-M-O-D. If you go to climateviewer.com/ENMOD, you can see my solution, the trip that I'm planning, what I intend to do when I get there, and that I'm bringing a Emmy Award-winning videographer, Jerry Day, from Los Angeles, California, with me to record everything I'm doing. And I'm going to try to get their support. Because I think that if I get their support and the public support, that together we can go to the State Department and say, it's time to make ENMOD work and put an end to secret weather warfare once and for all. The CIA called geoengineer Alan Robach in March of 2015 and said, if Russia was modifying the weather over America, would we know? And Alan Robach, geoengineer, said, I think so.
I think so. Well, that's...
Now, this conference I'm going to is held every 2 years. The reason why the CIA called him in March of 2015 is because in January of 2015, 2 years ago, at the 20th, or the, yeah, the 20th conference on planet and inadvertent weather modification, Diane Seidel from NOAA said, it is impossible to detect rogue geoengineering. And what that means is, what everybody's complaining about online, while they call everybody conspiracy chemtards, the government at the highest levels are freaking out because they have no way to catch somebody modifying the weather.
Oh, well, that's a problem.
So this is a national security issue. This isn't a joke. This should be taken seriously, but it's not. And the question is why, and I'm going to go there and I'm going to find out. So I'm doing a GoFundMe to make a film out of this, and that's what we're doing here. Me and Jerry are going there to film this and try to make this law a reality. We're going to film our interactions with the scientists. Hopefully most of them will agree. I've already gotten 5 geoengineers who agree. I haven't even got there yet.
Nice. Well, we put the your GoFundMe link right there on the page, and it's right. Yeah, there we go. Got it all on there for you. Looks like you're $6,600 of the $10,000 goal. So you're
unbelievable support.
That is fantastic.
And it always takes my breath
prior.
Away. That you know anybody would give money to somebody they don't know.
Well, except for the fact that, let's face it, how many of us are going to go find out what's really going on? How many of us, okay, just true confession here. On the break, I was looking at the Ebola virus on your, I was like the, you know, your 3D worldview thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm just looking down the list. I'm like, oh, I know what Ebola is. I mean, basically. So I click on that and I can see all over the world how many times there's been Ebola. I mean, all these things that you have mapped into this viewer, and I'm thinking, who's got time for this, right? I mean, I don't have time for that. But if I wanted to know about it, you've already done that. So I think that's a good investment for people.
Yeah, and I mean, at the end of the day, like, I've got, there's colleges using these maps to augment their courses. I'm hopefully... I can, put an end to weather warfare real quick because I want to make homeschool maps, .org or something. You know, like I want to, I find mapping way more fun than having to fight with people about the word chemtrail. Oh my God. because, it's like Carl Sagan said about the bamboozle, no matter how much evidence you put in front of a person, they can refuse to believe it, TLDR. I mean, really, too long didn't read. that's so many people. They look at it and they go,
blah blah.
That's a lot of words, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And really, they want the 5-minute video, and they want the 2-minute and 30-minute. Can you tweet that shit to me?
Yeah. I mean, seriously, do it in less than 140 words.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, like people, it's like the general erosion of, you know, cognitive ability. Like, people don't even want to have to think anymore. They just want to observe. And that's like the TV generation, you know, thing. You just observe with no interaction at all. And, like, I'm a gamer. So, like, I would rather interact with my entertainment than observe it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
So if you're an observational entertainer, then you're pretty lazy, generally speaking. You know, and you're not going to take an interactive approach to research online. You're probably going to hope that somebody has made you a video that explains it all. And this is not an offensive thing either. I mean, it's just a way we learn kind of thing. You know what I mean? Some people are, you know, hands-on, as they say.
Well,
I'm a hands-on kind of person.
Everybody wants the information right now, you know. So just give me the highlights so I know and I'll
Somebody
move on.
Just has to synthesize the data. That's where you come in.
Yeah, but, I mean, unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing's going to get better. It's not. And that's the truth of the matter. Like, you got the thing that I think has really got a lot of people crossed up is they don't realize that they're not an activist. You know, that they are actually in this for the entertainment value. And you have to ask yourself that. Like, am I watching this because I want to change the world and do something about it? Or do I want to watch other people change the world and do something about it? And if you know that about yourself, then accept that, know your place in society, and know that you're not going to change a thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to change things. That's me.
So when you go to this, you're taking a guy to film it, and are you going to release those at that time, or are you going to put it all together in one big thing, or what do you think?
That's the thing. Like, originally when I started the GoFundMe, you know, we were talking about it, and I said, I don't even want to call it a documentary because I don't want to go in with an expectation. You know what I mean? Like, I want to go there. I want to let this organically happen because I have every bit of what's on those websites memorized. You know what I mean? There's not going to be any opportunity. Unlike any other reporter who could try to cover this subject, I have it memorized. So when I go there and they try to say, well, actually our models are saying this, and I'm like, which ones? Because I read the integrated assessment of geoengineering proposals, and your GeoMet 5 sucks. It has no aerosols in there. And what are you even talking about? Don't get me started. So I understand all the acronyms. I understand all the science behind it. I've debated it for 5-7 years, and I'm itching at the opportunity for somebody to lie to me on camera. Because that will be handled like a gentleman and dealt with quickly. So they know that I'm coming. And most of these people have read my stuff online. They know my positions. They know everything about me. I know everything about them. This should be pretty quick and dirty. Do you guys agree or not?
No, I totally agree.
Yeah,
that's why I asked you what's your reception going to be. Because there are so many folks out there that, you know, aren't in agreement.
Yeah, exactly. All right, quick break, and then we're going to come back. Huh? Gives people a chance to go check out the GoFundMe page. So if you go to wethepeopleradio.us, you'll see right below Jim's bio, there's a link to the conference, and it'll take you right there. It's all set. It says AMS. Jim, if you need a soundtrack, you just use this. on your documentary. Jim?
I've got a couple choices already in mind, but yeah, that's a good one.
So what are you saying? You don't like our soundtrack?
I mean, it's pretty good.
What
but,
I hear you saying
know,
is we haven't picked the right song yet. It's a contest. We'll see if Bob guesses the proper song by the end of the time.
So
I was thinking there's a song. Check it out on YouTube. It's called Digital Clouds.
Oh. Huh.
Digital Clouds. I'm a shout out to David Castle. He already told me I could use it in his in my documentary, and I'm so going to do it because that's hot, and I like rap. I mean, sorry, oh. I grew up in the South. Like, my hometown's 60% black people. I've listened to rap my whole life. Oh. It's going to be in there, and I was thinking, like, Galactic has a song called Bittersweet, and it's about, you
Is
know.
Is that a talking song or a musical song?
What are you talking about?
She's not a big rap fan. She calls that a talking song.
Oh, no. There,
thanks for decoding
that. There's so much rap that is crap, but there's so
there
much
go.
That is so real, and it's so right on the money, and, like, oh, God, don't get me started. I could
it's
be 5 hours talking about rap music. And I intend to in the next year because it's really gone to hell in a handbasket. But,
it started
yeah,
there, actually.
They always promote the ones that destroy the things they hate.
Oh, there you go. So,
yeah, it's pretty harsh.
Okay, so when you guys, what is your, I guess, what's your solution to this? You know, what should they be doing with all this? Should they be doing any of this at all? Maybe I should just start there.
Well, I'm a Christian. I was a Boy Scout. I always assumed that was the one thing we didn't screw up, was the sky, you know, the weather.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I knew we dumped chemicals in the sky all the time. I'm not stupid. But I had no clue my entire life that people controlled the weather. And, you know, so I always, you know, I mean, you kind of have this, you know, sense of wonder and appreciation for what God created. And then you find out, oh, wait, that's all controlled. Great. And then you find out that when you were 2 years old, they banned weather warfare, and then you kind of, like, punches you in the eye. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What? You mean they've been controlling the weather so long that they had a chance to use it in war already and ban it?
That's true.
Major shocker to me, and I, you know, talk to people regularly who have web, you know, radio shows who've been done thousands of episodes, and I say to them, "Hey, do you know weather warfare was illegal?" They're like, "What? What?" So nobody knows this. It's amazing to me. And I originally started my solution 5 years ago. I called it the Clarity Clause, and it was to bring clarity to the world of geoengineering, climate engineering, and chemtrails. And apparently, people didn't like the name or something. I don't know. I renamed it. But I called it the Clarity Clause for a long time, and I just recently called it the Environmental Modification Accountability Act of 2018 because it sounds legally
terrific. Yeah, it does.
I mean,
it sounds,
you know, because it's called the Environmental Modification Convention, but it has no accountability, you see? So I was thinking maybe I'd call it the NMOD Accountability Act. That's great, right?
Right.
Anyway, so...
So how many people typically attend the convention?
I was told there's going to be 20,000 people in Austin Convention Center.
Why?
So at this thing is going to be like all of those jerk meteorologists that ever shot their mouth off on Facebook about chemtrails, they're going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to try to talk to all of them?
Oh, I'm going to find them. I'm going to find them. And I'm going to place egg all over their face with words in front of their colleagues. I'm going to go up to them and I'm going to say, "Hey, you remember that time you wrote this? Dude, how ridiculous is it that you, a learned person, are condescending to the public when you yourself do not understand this topic at all? And then just dare them to try to debate this."
Right.
Because I'm going to walk around and basically go, "Look, you know, I want to talk very nice about this, understand that I'm right, and we'll get along great." And you should agree with everything I'm about to say, because I've thought about this a lot, and it's not going to go well if you don't agree with me, because I heard you guys are getting death threats.
And why? Because people are so concerned about it. And, you know, while we're at it at some point today, let's talk about how much of this is, I mean, what is the health hazard? You know, are we being sprayed like lab rats? I mean, let's
demystify
some of the stuff that's out there.
Well, I mean, we are being sprayed like we're lab rats, but the problem is everybody wants to say that somebody is intentionally doing it to kill people.
Right.
And just in my personal perspective, like, there are a billion ways to die, and we all breathe the same air. And even rich people, their filters aren't that damn good. So I don't understand the idea of putting something in the air to kill people that is selectively going to kill people. Now, I've heard all that, you know, hogwash about, you know, the V2X and the God gene and all of this, you know. But every time I chase those rabbits down, they are not the kind of thing that somebody would spray on a worldwide basis, let alone could afford to.
Right.
So it just keeps going back to keeping yourself sane. You know what I mean? What are you willing to believe? What sounds logical? You know, there's two sides to every story, and somewhere in the middle lies the truth. So I come at this from, you know, about 50% of what the people who believe in chemtrails say is true, and it's provable by history. I got plenty of it on there. And 50% of what the debunkers are saying, water vapor and stuff sticking to it. But the thing is, debunkers say it doesn't matter, there's nothing to see here. And the chemtrail people say it's all, you know, holograms and Luciferian and, you know, stuff that's so unrealistic you could never do anything about it. And I think that that false dichotomy, that Hegelian, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, it's intentional. Choose a side, both sides are wrong, and you control the narrative. And I've found that with every single research thing I've dug into, that there's usually two sides to the argument, both are wrong, and then there's a very minute, you know, group of people who got it figured out and think both camps are crazy and realize that everybody's screwed because they're set up to believe one of the two narratives.
And where are the weathermen in all this? So the guys that are just the, you know, the weather guys that say none of this is happening. You get a lot of them say none of it's happening.
Well, I mean, they'll recognize that cloud seeding is going on, but when the head of the National Weather Service and the Storm Prediction Center were asked, hey, you know, do you guys account for cloud seeding projects in your weather forecast? They said no. And then this guy from the National Weather Service went a step further and says they don't tell us when they modify the weather. This was at the last Weather Mod conference. A guy named Dutch Sense was down there and, you know, videotaped this thing. Anyway, so the National Weather Service guy said that they don't tell them. It was a bold-faced lie. The Weather Modification Reporting Act of 1972 was also signed because of the NMOD thing, because of the Vietnam Popeye stuff.
We're going to come back with this at the top of the hour. Some lies take longer to expose than others.
Oh, they do.
We'll be right back with our guest, Jim Lee. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.